God, we're thankful for these that have come tonight, Lord. Lord, those that may listen later on, God, I pray that, Lord, something will be said that they can get, that we can all get, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Lord, to draw us closer to you, God. We don't thank you, Lord. God, for what you don't do here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're in Psalm 130. I've seen so loud. Is that better? Yes. All right, Psalm 130. It's believed that this is one of the Psalms of David. And it starts out, my title would be Praying with Hope. That's a sermon within itself. Now here we see the psalmist. In the very first verse it says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And in verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. So right here in these first two verses, he's praying from the depths of his soul. Something has happened. Something is making him maybe not happy. He's sad. He's depressed. And as I was reading this week, I was brought to, you know, sometimes we have to pray because something happens that's not necessarily our fault. You know, but also sometimes we pray because it is our fault. We've had a lack of faith, a lack of disobedience. You know, I thought of Jonah. Jonah is a prime example. Jonah, you know, he was supposed to go there to Nineveh, but he didn't want to. He ended up in the belly of the fish. But when he was in his deepest despair, the Bible says that he called out to God and the fish spat him out on dry ground. You know, that's amazing. I thought about David. David, God's man. You know, he's called the man after God's own heart. And it says, if you'll read, David called out to God after his affair with Bathsheba and having Uriah killed. You know, what wickedness he did, but still God used him. But the Bible says that after this, David prayed. David prayed. The Bible says that David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. So although David messed up, David knew that he had to call out on God. Another one in the Bible I thought about was Peter. You know, Peter, you know, we talk about him all the time. He was mouthy. Clint does a great job of acting like Peter in the play. But Peter denied Jesus three times. And he was sore. He was bitter. The Bible said that he went out and wept bitterly. But you know, Jesus resurrected after all that. That's right. And in John chapter 21, Jesus is talking and he says, he's talking to Peter. He says, so when thou hast dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to them, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. Then Jesus said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So here we see that he built that relationship back with Peter. He was able to forgive him because they cried from the depths. But then on the other hand, you know, sometimes we go through low times through no fault of our own. Wow. Hannah, all Hannah wanted was a child. Here she is. She's married to Elkanah. Elkanah, you know, back in that time, he had another wife, bless his heart. Her name was Penia. I don't know why anybody wants two wives. No offense, Dusty. I just don't get it. But anyway, I don't understand. But anyway, Hannah just wanted a baby because Penia, the other wife, had children. That's all she wanted. And it says, so Hannah rose up early after they had eaten in Shiloh. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You know what happened after Hannah prayed that? If you go down about verse 17, 18, 19 in there, it says she had a son and called his name Samuel because he came from the Lord. You know, she cried out in her despair through no fault of her own. Then I thought about Moses. We talked a lot about Moses in Sunday school the last few weeks. But in Moses 14, they're coming up to the Red Sea. People are murmuring. They're complaining. You brought us this far. We don't die. What we don't do, we can't go any farther. And the Lord said something. It's really not even Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? That made me think. Somewhere in those verses, it doesn't ever say anything about this, but you know, Moses had a conversation with God that wasn't recorded. And you know, that conversation's a prayer. Moses didn't cause this. He's just trying to do what he was told to do from the Lord. Pharaoh was going to let the people go, so here they are. And it says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And we need to go forward. And then one of the greatest of all is Jesus. You know, Jesus prayed with agony in the garden. He asked God, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Jesus did nothing, but he did it for us. And then when he's on the cross, you know, he said, Father, forgive them of their sins. They know not what they do. In his deepest agony that our sins caused, Jesus called out. So we have there that he calls out in prayer when you're in trouble, you need to call out in prayer. In the next couple of verses, we see that this psalmist, David, he's demonstrating humility. Verse number 3 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Right here we understand that God extends, you know, we talked about it Sunday, God extends mercy and grace. That's what this is all about. It's just amazing. You know, mercy again we should be punished, but you know we're not. Grace is that undeserved favor of God where we get those things that we don't even deserve. But here the psalmist is saying, he said that if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. You know, aren't you glad God isn't counting all our little sins we do all the time and he's not holding them against us? You know, if he kept a record book of our sins, how big it would be. Because I'm sure if unless you just got up before you came to church, I hope nobody slept that late, but unless you just got up, I'm probably sure that you probably sinned sometime today. You probably failed God. You laid him down and you thought, oh, why did I do that? But you know, God's not keeping the record like we do. You know, it's under the blood. He goes on, God forgives our sins and he knows this. Jeremiah said, God will remember our sin no more. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And that wool is white. You know, it took a lot. A few weeks ago, I think the preacher was talking about this, that you know, it took a lot to get that red dye out. You know, once something's ruined, it's ruined. But, you know, Jesus' blood can take it out. And this psalmist realized this as he's talking to the Lord. He's in awe and he's in reverence of the pardoning mercy of God. And I got to thinking, are we still in awe of what God can do for us? Are we still in awe that he saved us? You know, it makes us wonder. You know, Jackie just said a few minutes ago, there are some people that are not here that used to be here. And you know, we know people end up going to other churches. That's all well and good. But there are some people that should be here tonight that's not. They wasn't here Sunday. You know, COVID 4 years ago, it done a lot of people in. They got used to sitting home on the couch and they never came back. I feel like we may have lost our the awness we have with what God can do for us. And then we get to a part, the next part, we see that he's practicing patience. Verses 5 and 6 say, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You know, we got to wait for the Lord. He uses the illustration of the watchman. And it's funny that Skip sang that song. What was the name of that song we just sang? I forgot. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, because that was sung on the Andy Griffith Show one time, a few times. And while I was reading about watchmen, I was reading back over today, I came across this article, and it talked about Asa, the security guard at the Mayberry Security Bank. And you know, Asa's job was to protect the bank. But when Barney then walked in and he shook Asa, the gun just fell apart on the floor. You know, he's picking it up and holding it. You know, that's not much of a watchman, is it? You know, we need a watchman. The watchman he's talking about here, you know, that would have been the one that was set up on the tower or set up on the wall to make sure to keep the enemy out. Now, here they're just talking about, you know, we need to watch for the morning. But I got thinking about, you know, we need to watch over each other, because those first two verses talked about being in despair, talked about being down and out. You know, when we know Skip's down and out, you know, we need to lift Skip up. We need to sort of look out for Skip. If we know Larry's down and out, we need to look out for Larry. We need to look out for each other. But anyway, so he used the illustration of the watchman whose job is to protect. You know, he sounds the alarm when danger's coming. Then we see the seriousness of the wait. You know, waiting is hard for us. You know, we live in the era of everything we need is right here. You know, if I want to look up something and learn about something, all I got to do is Google it. Although I've been told I don't have to type in Google. You can do it from Safari, just so you older people know that. I thought you had to actually go to Google, but my children said only old people do that. Sad, ain't it? But anyway, I can Google anything. You know, we go to McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. We want our food right then. We don't like to wait. We get in that front, we get at that stoplight in front of McDonald's and CVS, and it takes forever, and you're getting restless, and you get ill. I don't know why they don't retime it. But we don't like to wait. But you know what? We got to learn to wait. And we don't see why in a second. Waiting is hard for us. You know, Amazon Prime packages come the next day. But there's some goodness in waiting. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, it said there, renew our strength. How do we renew our strength while we're waiting on the Lord? You know, while we're waiting, we got to do something. You don't just sit around and twiddle your thumbs. But, you know, we renew our strength, and we renew our strength by reading our Bible, praying. You know, we can talk to each other. We've been gifted each other to be our church family. You know, we can lean on each other. We can, what else did I write? We can attend church faithfully. We need to get involved. You know, we rise up with wings as eagles. You know, we're flying high. That means we're soaring above. We're looking out for each other. Back to that watchman thing. You know, it goes on to say, rise, walk, and not faint. You know, we need to be energized in the Lord and keep going. Don't give up. You know, you came too far to give up. You know what it was like out there. I mean, we've heard testimony after testimony in here. We hated it out there because it was so rough. Nobody cared about us. We were like the beggars. They just left us sitting on the corner. But in here, we have each other's backs, and that's our job. The warning, Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in verses 7 and 8, while I'm waiting, I hope. You know, we believe he's the answer. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So while we're waiting, we know he's no answer. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know what else happens in the morning? The sun rises.
Amen.
You know, is that not cool? The sun rises in the morning. That's just amazing. You know, it's hard. You know, at night, things are sad. You know, most of us, if we're sick at night, it's the worst. You know, but on over in those morning hours when that sun starts coming through, we start feeling a little bit better because, you know, there's a little bit of hope. In the darkness, it's scary. We can't call everybody because you don't want to wake anybody up, but, you know, we can still call on God. But joy comes in the morning. The Bible also says that, you know what? Titus 2:3 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:7 says, you know what we need to do? Cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. You know, he cares for every one of us, from me all the way to the back. He just cares for us. And it's our job to cast our cares upon him, but we'll keep them bottled up. We don't spend time praying like we need to. Amen. Well, that's what the Lord gave me for tonight. If y'all stand.